Go ahead and open up with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5 this morning. I take seriously the teachings of Jesus. How about you? I don't know, there's just something especially weighty when you have the red letters there that you're reading. Not that the rest of the Bible's unimportant, but it just seems to be especially important when you see that it's Jesus speaking. And so God became man to save us from our sins, but he also came to teach us about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we should always be ready to obey the directives of this prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. There is a debate, actually. A lot of times when I'm putting a message together, I do want to see what other people have said or what other people have written, what other people are preaching on this subject. And so I just looked up good works, and almost every message I found about good works had to do with, you know, kind of anti-good works. In other words, we know that we're saved by grace, not by our works. Amen. And apparently, I guess a lot of people believe that it's their good works. If your good outweighs your bad and all of that, they get to go to heaven. And so there's a lot of messages out there that's trying to counter that idea and that theology. And so most of the messages I found concerning good works was kind of anti-good works. But that's very interesting to me, because good works are so central to God's kingdom. When about to be stoned to death, you remember they pushed Jesus to the edge of the cliff and they were going to stone him or throw him over the edge. He simply asked this question in John 10:32. Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these do you stone me? So what, for which good works are you going to put me to death? When writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul stated this in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Everybody say good works. It's not a bad word. It's not an evil word. You can say it in church and we're okay. We were created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Martin Luther, the great church reformer, said this: God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. We are taking ownership. We're owning it right now. We're just taking a look at different areas of our life and taking ownership of those areas. So today we're going to examine our responsibility to our community and to our world. We do have a responsibility. I'm afraid that the world, listen to me, I'm afraid that our world is much more aware of our political views and the things to which we object than the reason for the hope that's within us. I pray this is not true. The mission given to us by Jesus is to shine light in the world so that people can see the way out of darkness. I believe that we truly desire to spread the love of Jesus to this town because we love this town. In fact, we ought to just say that. We love this town. Say it with me. We love this town. I mean, I don't really want to hear people around me running down the town where Jesus has assigned me to shine the light of the gospel, because the light of the gospel is all positive, not negative. We're to bring light, not darkness. Amen. So really, if you want to grumble and complain, find somebody else, because I have an assignment from God to bring light to this town, and we love this town. Say it again. We love this town. The best way to change our world for good is not with a protest sign, but with loving gestures and kind words of hope. We have the answer. We found the Savior. The love of God is in us. Now is the time to let the love shine bright through us to this town. We love this town. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus earlier said, I'm the light of the world. But here in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, he said that we are the light of the world. Now, we don't self-generate that light, but we reflect light. We're not really like the sun, we're really more like the moon. But when we expose ourselves to the Son of God, come on somebody, and we allow ourselves not to be hidden, then we can shine light in the don't you just love a full moon? I mean, sometimes when you just go outside, you go, I mean, you like poke somebody and go, look, the moon's full tonight. And over the past year or so, we've had some incredibly, larger, because the moon has been a little closer to the earth. We're not going to see it again for a long time, but you'd look up sometimes and it was just glowing, huge. You know, I'm looking for the man on the moon. And that's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be not hidden. We're supposed to be fully exposed to the sun, and we're really supposed to be as close to the earth as possible so we can let our light shine in the darkness. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, Jesus gave us an indication, didn't he? Verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So it is then our good works that is going to shine light in the world. It is by our good works that people are going to see Jesus. You're still thinking about it, but I'm going to overwhelm you with scripture right now. All right. And I think you have them, here in the back of your weekly planner. But I want you to see in Acts chapter 9 at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, and that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. In other words, there might be a reason that God has blessed you so abundantly. He's blessed you so abundantly that you could use your abundance to do good works and to be generous. Amen. And in our culture, most of us by world standards are extremely rich. I mean, you drove to church this morning, right? I didn't see anybody walking in this morning, but most of the places we go around the world, if you own a car, you're like stinking rich. All right? And if you eat multiple times every day, you're rich. And you've got cabinets full of things, and you're looking at, like, you know, Michelle was home, as you know, for a few days, not feeling well. Oh, my goodness. Is our house organized like no other? I mean, she went through every cabinet, every closet, and basically said, you don't need this, you don't need this, you don't need this, you don't need this. And man, I got home and man, my sweaters were all, neatly stacked, and my shirts were in a row, and my shoes were where they were supposed to be. Praise God. And then I'm probably missing some stuff, but I have so much, I don't even know what it is. And those of us that are rich are supposed to do something with those riches. We're supposed to then do good works and share and be a blessing with the abundance that God has given us. Titus chapter 2 says, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of, you've got it, good works, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Man, I know Christians that are zealous. How about you? I mean, they're zealous for a lot of things. I mean, over the years, Michelle and I have been pastoring for 35 years. I mean, people are zealous for the end times. And oh my goodness, they have it all figured out. And if you don't believe what they believe about end times, they won't even worship with you anymore. I mean, they're zealous. But the Bible never tells us to be zealous about the end times. The Bible tells us to be zealous about what we do have control over, to be zealous for good works and all kinds of other things that people are so zealous about today. In Titus chapter 3, it says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 24, one of the reasons that we get together, that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak of you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, should be known for our good works, that even if they want to criticize us, they say, well, man, they do so much to help the poor. They do so much for kids. They do so much for people in need. I mean, if there's something going on in the community, man, the church is there. I mean, the church is always the first to be there. In other words, they want to be critical of us, but because of our good works, they end up glorifying God. So, you know, and you know, it is true. This world would be a lot darker place if it wasn't for the Church of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that there's hospitals that have been built all over the world by churches? Do you realize that there are orphans being taken care of all over the world because of Christians, because of the church? I mean, this church, our church, supports orphans just all over the world, in Zimbabwe, in Thailand, in Burma, in India. I'm probably missing some. In Haiti and in Pakistan. This church, all run by Christian people. I mean, there's horrible things. Go walk the streets of Bangkok at night. Or down in the resort island of Phuket, Thailand. And you'll just get disgusted because of the perversity of just the nastiest sexual things you've ever seen. And behind these doors and the flashing lights are children that have been snagged off of the street because their parents died of AIDS or something else and are forced to use their body to pleasure. Come on. But you know who rescues them? The church. I mean, some of our very good friends. There's an orphanage in Chiang Mai, Thailand, called Zoe House. And we know the leaders of that and the founders of that. And but they go in and work actually with the government and with law enforcement. And they go in and rescue these children from these situations. And then people are arrested and they whisk them off to a safe house. We never even get to see the children that are at that orphanage because they're under such protection that no one ever gets to take their picture. No one. Come on, somebody. They've been saved by the Church of Jesus Christ. And don't you believe that it's things like this that opens up the hearts of people to the gospel in places like Thailand? In Pakistan, there was children that were being forced to work in a brick factory. But if they go to school, they don't have to work. Well, our friends Todd and Julie Powers, who I'm sure will be with us this year, went in and started a school. They started a school. And then from that school, it becomes a church and becomes a Bible training center. Instead of those kids at 8 and 9 and 10 years old working in the brick factory, which would be the whole rest of their life, they get to go to school, because if they go to school, they don't have to work in the factory. You know who did that? The body of Christ, people like you and me. And I'm telling you, in that Muslim culture, it's only by our good works that they're going to see the light so that they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But you know what? We don't live in Thailand and we don't live in Pakistan. We live right here, don't we? I said, we live right here, don't we? Look at this scripture with me in John 14. There's another side of good works that I want you to think about. Not just, helping children or helping people in need, which is very, very needy. I mean, which is very, very righteous, which is very, very worthy. As a matter of fact, pure and undefiled religion has to do with helping widows and orphans, right? Amen. I know your good works aren't saving you, but we're saved unto good works. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the express purpose of good works. Jesus said, you are light, the light of the world. You can't hide your light. People need to see the light so that they can see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Look at John 14. It's a very famous passage. Jesus is talking about going away, going back to His Father's house. And then if He goes away, that He's going to send the Holy Spirit to be with us and live on the inside of us. And that if He goes away, He's going away to prepare a place for us. And if He goes away, He's going to come back and receive us to Himself. And of course, you know, His closest followers are confused. You know, how are we going to know the way? Jesus, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And they say, well, man, show us the Father so we can know. Jesus in verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, if you're not believing what I'm saying, I want you to believe me because of the works that I've done. And as a matter of fact, the works that I do, believers shall do also, in greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father, that whatever you ask in my name, that's what's going to happen. What are the works of Jesus? We have a summary of the works of Jesus multiple times in the Gospels. Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. As a matter of fact, looking back on the life of Jesus, Peter is in the home of Cornelius. Cornelius is not Jewish. He's not yet a Christian, but he's really being drawn by the Holy Spirit to God, and but he doesn't know what to do. And you know that Peter has this dream about eating all of these unclean foods that the Old Testament law said don't eat these things. And he just kept seeing this sheep drop down with all these things he wasn't supposed to eat. And the voice of God saying, arise, Peter, eat these things, basically. And so it was God's way of letting Peter know that he was supposed to go to the home of this Gentile, this unbeliever, and that God was in it. And God's message wasn't just for one particular group of people, but for all people. I've got a point here. And when he stands up and he starts preaching Jesus to them, in Acts 10, verse 38, he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power of God, who went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The good works that Jesus did had to do, yes, with feeding the 5,000. Yes, it had to do with taking care of some of those kinds of needs. But the good works of Jesus can't be confined to just things that we can do in our natural ability. The good works of Jesus also has to do with the Holy Spirit and the power of God and bringing healing, and the healing that only Jesus can bring to a person's life. I need a better amen. So if we're going to do these good works, let me tell you how we're going to do this. We're going to find hurts and heal them. And we're going to find needs and fill them. So I'm telling you, inside of you, on the inside of you, how many of you are born again today and you know it? I mean, and you're happy about it. All right. Then the Spirit of God dwells in you. That means there's ministry in you. That means that you're gifted and anointed to do certain things. You have certain desires that aren't generated. They're not self-generated, but they're generated by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God is stirring some things up on the inside of you to meet these needs and to bring healing to these hurts. And it might have something to do with children. It might have something to do with teenagers. It might have something to do with men who are far away from God. It might have to do with women or the poor or something else, the elderly. There is ministry on the inside of you. Now, I learned this a long time ago, way back in the early 80s. There's only three questions that you should ever ask when you have something on your heart that you believe you're supposed to do for God. Three questions and three questions only. And there's no other questions. Number one, would this thing that is on my heart to do, would it be a great thing and would it glorify God? Would it bring glory to God? The second question, would this thing that I believe I'm supposed to do, this thing I'm being stirred up to do, would it be a great thing to help people? It could be a great thing for God, but if it doesn't help any people, then... And number three, is someone else already doing this adequately? In other words, this would be a great thing for God, it'd be a great thing for people, but there's all kinds of people doing this and doing a really great job at it. I don't know if there's a need for anybody else to get into this, but those are the only three questions. Now, you're going to have other questions, like you don't know how to do it, like you don't have money to do it, but those are never the questions that you ask when you say yes to God. You say yes to God because this is going to be great for God. It's going to be great for people. And there's not enough or nobody doing this. And somebody needs to do this. And God is stirring up my heart to do something great in the name of Jesus that would glorify God and would shine light in darkness and draw people to himself. Finally, I want you to think about this. Eternal rewards. Look, the fact that you're part of the kingdom of heaven boils down to this, that you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and that God raised him again from the dead, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no other way unto salvation except by that way. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know what? They're saved and there's barely saved. And they're saved and there's extremely saved. Come on, somebody. And the Bible does talk about eternal rewards and talks about eternal loss. We're not talking about your salvation here. That comes by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We give our children presents not because they've ever earned them or they deserve them. They probably didn't. Maybe Lane. You don't give presents because people earn presents. Then it's not a present. It's a reward. You get a paycheck because you earned that. You get a bonus because you earned that. You know, you won the free trip because you sold enough stuff. So it's not really a free trip. You earned it. It's a reward. But a gift is not based on the recipient. The gift is based on the giver. We give because we love you and you're our kids and here you go. You know, what did our 3-year-old granddaughter do to deserve one of those battery-operated cars? Nothing. She's just like every other 3-year-old, except a lot smarter, a lot cuter, and, you know, I mean. And my kids, like, feel, like, so ripped off because they never got one of those. But that had to do with the ability of the giver, not the recipient. It was just a little out of our budget. When our kids were growing up, we had 4 of them, and come on, I'm a preacher. I mean, God takes care of me, but you know what? We were part of a growing church in those days. There's a whole lot more of us today. You know, there's more people that goes to church in the name of Cornerstone Church outside of Chillicothe today than inside of Chillicothe today. Isn't that fascinating? And growing. But there still is a place for good works, because how are we going to let our light shine to our community? We have one option, our good works. That's it. I hear all these clever methods of how to get people saved. But I'm just telling you, the best method is just to do things that would be very helpful for people. Find needs and fill them and find hurts and heal them. And look what Paul says about all of this. So we wrap up this message. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. If there's no work to do, we shouldn't be called workers. You are God's field. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. Another builds on it. But let each one of you take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which has been built on it, endures, he will have a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, as through fire. My question for you today is, how are you letting the light of God's love shine through you? What good works are you a part of that's bringing glory to God, that's shining light in the darkness of our community? We love this town, so we owe it to them. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said, I am a debtor. I'm a debtor. I owe it to people to tell them and to preach the gospel to them. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believes. But Paul acted like he owed it to people to tell them about Jesus and to let his light shine before them. Here's what we're going to do today. I want you to think about Some of you've had thoughts and ideas about what you're supposed to be doing from God. And let me just tell you, permission granted. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You don't need any other permission than that. If it's a great thing for God and if it would help people and there's not enough people or nobody doing it already, then get busy. And if you want to bring those thoughts and ideas to me, I will help you accomplish that thing because that's my job. My job is to help you fulfill the ministry that God's put in you to do, not just to assign people things to do, because I'm not the head of the church. Jesus is. But I can help facilitate that. I can work on those ideas with you. I can poke holes maybe in an idea that needs to be strengthened. I can add some things to what you think you're supposed to do from God just because of the experience that we have. But there isn't any one person in the room that's a follower of Jesus Christ that is exempt from being an active participant in good works and the ministry of Jesus. The second thing is, Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Well, that really has to do with the supernatural part of the works of Jesus, doesn't it? And all we can do is, in the name of Jesus, allow him to flow through us as like a conduit, as a channel of blessing to other people. And we just believe in that here. We don't believe in that just up here at the pulpit. We believe that out here in the seats. I mean, we are to be used by God as, you know, he didn't say these signs will follow preachers. These signs will follow the pastors. These signs will follow evangelists or what have you. It says these signs will follow them that believe. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. So I just sensed today that, man, if you came in and you need a creative miracle from God or you need healing from God, then you're just in the right place because we believe that the works that Jesus did, we do also. Because we have his name and we have his authority. We actually have his commandment to do so. It really wasn't even a suggestion, it was a command. So, you know, if he's commanded us to do something, then he better give us the authority and the ability to do whatever he commanded us to do. And we believe that he has. So why don't we just stand up to our feet? But let's allow God and the Holy Spirit of God an opportunity to just demonstrate some good works. Man, it's always good if somebody gets healed. It's always good if somebody gets the miracle they need. It's always good, never bad. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So you might just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. I mean, how many of you just as an act of obedience, you know, just to do something in response to this message today? You know there's something you're supposed to be doing for God. Maybe you don't have absolute clarity. Maybe you don't have every detail. But you've got enough indication on the inside of you. You know you're supposed to be doing something. And you know it has to do with a particular, very specific kind of a thing. Though you don't know all the details, you know you're supposed to be doing something maybe that you're not doing yet. Just nobody looking around. Just hold up your hand and say, yep, that's me. I know I'm supposed to be doing something for God that I'm not. All right. I'm seeing hands all over the room. That's good. You can put those back down. You see, Michelle and I did youth ministry years ago. We were doing a camp out in Kansas. This one really kind of smart kid, he was also kind of smart mouth. About 3/4 of the way through my teaching, he'd go, so what? And my first response to him was to, you know, kind of put him in his place and shut him down. But I realized he was getting the point. He wanted to know, what am I supposed to do about this? And when you hear a message, you ought to be able to answer the so what question. What do you want me to do about this? I mean, I'm telling you, there's good works for you to be doing. And if you're not actively engaged in that, your eternal rewards are based on those good works. And your good works is what allows other people to come and know Jesus also. So there's things on the inside of you you should be doing. And if you're not doing it, then you owe it to yourself and to your eternity and other people to get busy doing what God's called you to do. But you also might be here this morning or watching by live stream right now, and you said, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't even know if I'm right with God. A lot of what you're saying is even kind of confusing to me, but I'm curious. I'm kind of thinking I'm even ready to get started following Jesus today, but I really don't know what to do. But if someone would help me, I think that's what I want to do today. And if that's you today and you're ready to give your life to Jesus today and start your journey of faith and walking with the Lord and asking Jesus to come into your life, I mean, everybody's journey starts different. Roger talked about he started giving before he really even started following the Lord, and this kind of drew him to God. But here you are, and you just have this tugging on the inside of you, this unexplainable longing on the inside of you. Just, you know, you got this battle raging in your brain. I want to do this. I don't want to do this. I mean, I don't know what I'm getting into. Let me just say that there's not one person I've ever met that said, you know, I wish I would have waited to start following Jesus. You know, I did it too young, and I don't know, I feel like I just wasted a lot of good time in my life and wish I would have waited till later on to start following Jesus. No, never met that person, never heard that testimony. What I hear repeatedly is, I wish I'd have given my life to Jesus sooner. I wish I'd have been younger. I would have avoided so much trouble and tragedy in my life if I would have just called on the name of the Lord Jesus and became a Christ follower earlier in my life. And if you need to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved today, could I just see your hand right now and say, that's me. I don't understand all this, but something on the inside of me says, I need to get my life right and give my life to Jesus. Who might that be today? Could I see you? Just real quickly, just hold up your hand for me and put it back down. The final thing is this. If we're going to preach about the works of Jesus and talk about believers doing those things, I just think it'd be wrong not to give you an opportunity to be healed, to be restored, to be made whole, to be made right. Is anybody in need of just healing today? So we can just pray for you real quickly. Okay, yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Anybody else? Okay. Back here in the back, I see somebody. Anybody else just say, you know what? I don't know what else to do. I've done what I can do. I'm doing medically. I don't know, but I believe God could do something for me. I believe God would do something for you just to even prove himself real to you. So can we just pray real quickly for those that raised their hands? They left plenty of space in the service for this moment. If you raise up your hand, would you just come forward? I don't do this often, but I feel like we should just lay hands on you and give God an opportunity. I'm going to have Roger and Barb and Michelle just lay hands on you. And if anybody else comes, there's a gentleman, there's a lady, two ladies. Would you just lay hands on them and pray for them to be healed right now in the name of Jesus? Let's just all use our faith right now and glorify God for just a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing and answering our prayers. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Everybody say good works. Everybody say we love this town. And the best way to love this town is to find some needs and fill them, find some hurts and heal them. And let's let the light of the gospel shine through us real big. Amen.